CliffCentral.com. Thursday morning, and we are, well, Ben and I are here. Don't know about the rest of them. I know what's happening. It's like, am I too soft as a boss? I mean, you've had other bosses. Am I soft?
You're a nice guy, Gareth. You're a very nice guy.
Too nice.
You're very considerate. You're caring. You're compassionate.
Give people too much leeway.
I've used far too many C words.
Tell me what I need to do. If you were my management coach, what would you say to me?
Gareth, I just say speak from the heart. Never hold back from your gut. Because outside of that, you just be told to be like someone else. Always be true to what you feel.
Well, yeah, you see, I'm
that's what I would say.
I don't know. I'm not a hard,
exactly,
mean boss. I'm not going to be the one who unleashes hell. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday at lunch. He was saying that he just had to shit all over his staff because people were dropping balls. You know, it happens this time of year. It happens in every business.
Sure.
And he said he had to unleash fury on them. He felt bad about it because he's also kind of a nice dude. He had a kid last year, and he doesn't like doing this. He said it makes him uncomfortable.
All wakes up in the morning for conflict.
But people take advantage, right?
Exactly. That's the whole thing, is that people generally do take advantage of life. It's human trait.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go into too much around that. You said, you know, speak from the gut.
Maybe not today's gut. Maybe tomorrow's gut will be slightly better to speak from. Can we talk about a new podcast, though?
Yes, go on.
Because we've got to talk about this. Dear Joan and Jerrica. It's this podcast that I got, this friend of mine suggested I listen to. So if you like,
so
if you like, my dad wrote a porno.
Yes.
That was a huge thing. You know, that's on like season 8 or whatever. They mm-hmm. tour the world with it. There's merchandise. It became a really big deal.
Yeah.
So British humor is something I grew up with because obviously my family's from there. And there's just something so dry, self-deprecating, and just kind of mean and cruel about it, too. You know, we always speak on the show about how a sense of humor is essential and shows great intellect. Well, this show, Dear Joan and Jerrica, there's two British comedians, but they're posing as agony aunts, basically, but the worst kind of agony aunts.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're horrendous. Let me just see if I can find you an example.
Is that with the age of the gentleman, she doesn't say all
the time. All right, let me just help you with this.
Sure.
Should I read the bio so long?
Yeah, go on.
So this is the bio, this is the podcast bio.
Patricia Malharius Newton Abbott.
Patricia Malharius,
a wonderful name.
Sounds like a novelist, doesn't she? Or
she does, or a Shakespearean character. Mm. Or indeed a little bit like malaria. An illness.
A sort of illness.
Mm. Yes. Either way, well done.
Yes.
And well done at 68.
Goodness.
To have met a wonderful man.
Yes, good for you.
You don't see how old he is, but...
Is there a photo of the man?
Oh, yes, here we are.
Ah, yes, there we are.
Yes.
There we are, goodness. Yes, he looks substantially older, doesn't he?
He does. He's quite a withered fellow.
Yes, well...
Good. But well done.
Yes, well done.
He's a man. You're a woman.
Indeed.
And you're looking into your fellatio techniques.
Good.
So I know this is a biggie for you.
It is. Yes.
Jerrica.
Yes.
So fire away.
So, yes. Firstly, with an older lady such as Patricia, what she will have experienced, as we talked about quite a lot on this show, is the atrophication of the vaginal area and the difficulty with which penetration takes place or doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously,
do you think she's probably not doing it down there and having to
exactly
turn her mouth into a busy vagina?
Indeed. I mean, I think what we're looking at here also is that with the age of the gentleman, she doesn't say how old he is, but he looks to me sort of
late 90s,
maybe even early 100s. People are living longer and longer, aren't they? And continuing to have active sex lives. Mm-hmm. You know, he may well not be able to, even with help, Viagra, what have you, may not be able to raise the penis to the level he will need to penetrate even a young and moist vagina.
And so on. These two are hilarious.
So they kind of bumble their way through, in an unqualified sense, through all these letters they get.
They give terrible advice.
Horrendous advice.
Like, there's a woman who's dying of cancer, and her husband has given her a gold envelope with a facelift voucher inside it. And these two say, well, you know what? Actually, you've been really selfish during the chemo, not giving him the sex he needs. And now it's time for you to do something for him for a change, you selfish, selfish woman. And go back to the same hospital, because it's the same hospital, and have the facelift done, because really there's nothing nice about you above the neck anyway. And he's not leaving you, is the golden, you know, is the silver lining, is the golden thread here. It's amazing.
So it's like an anti-feminist podcast as well, because they pull the piss at being politically correct about this kind of stuff. So you listen to it, and you just, for levels of being shocked, are just absolutely amazing. So this is their bio. Every woman, Joan Damery and Jerrica Domain, have between them worked in the fields of life coaching, female sexual health, psychogenital counseling, and sports journalism for 32 years.
Sports journalism?
Joan has been married several times and has 5 children, while Jerrica has been married for 30 years and has an only daughter called Cardinal. Joan recently turned her hand to erotic romantic adult fiction, while Jerrica had written 5 books on depression.
Alright.
Like, the topics are so out there.
That's great.
And they are just so mean and so cruel.
It's brilliant. Okay, so there we are. We've given you a new podcast to listen to.
Joan and Jerrica.
Sure. Because you know that's what happens, right? Podcast listeners like to hear about other podcasts from podcasters, so.
And the podcasts are all like 20 sort of minutes, 25 minutes.
Yeah, sure. All right, so we've got so much to talk about today. I don't even know where we're going to begin, because there's quite a lot happening on the political scene. And by the way, I heard from Peter Boghossian, who I remember I spoke about him yesterday.
Yes, yesterday.
He and 2 other academics have been filing fake papers with these bullshit humanities departments that do, you know, feminist dance theory and intersectionality and all this, the stuff that is not it's not a discipline, it's not a science, it's not even a subject, it's made up horse shit, it's really rubbish, it's just rubbish. And these people have filed these papers with the departments in the humanities that deal with these nonsense subjects and these nonsense courses and curricula, and they've had this rubbish published. In one case, they took a 3,000-word version of Mein Kampf, which they turned into intersectionality speak, because there's a whole language behind it. You hear it at, you know, these conferences where, like, a whole lot of postmodernists get together, and then they all do this instead of clapping when someone says something. I went to one of those once. Did I ever tell you that story?
Is that not offend people without hands?
No, well, exactly. I mean, it's offensive to me, but for various other reasons. I went to this. Was it meant to be a debate? Now, a debate is a fairly rigorous thing. You take off the gloves and you talk about the issues. It's not a personal thing. You debate your side as well as you can. And I was asked to comment on a number of things. Inter alia, the freedom of the internet, freedom of speech, the right for people to offend. Because I think you do have a right to offend. And you do not have a right not to be offended. In fact, some ideas may be patently offensive to you, which is precisely why you need to hear them and interrogate them.
Sure.
If you're protected from them and coddled from them, and someone steps in as like your mommy or daddy and covers your ears so you don't have to hear them, you're a child. So
exactly what it is.
I think I was up against. She used to be the editor of the Mail and Guardian.
Virashni
Pillay, and she was just. Everything I said upset and offended her.
Well, of course, you are the patriarchy, Gareth.
Well, that's exactly the point. That word also comes from this intersectionality.
No matter what you say, you're going to be huge offensive.
And then she said something like, well, you know, you don't have the opinion, the ability to have an opinion like a woman of color who has been through X, Y, and Z, and all the women in the crowd went like, you know, on cue.
Really, were they clicking fingers?
They were clicking fingers because they don't do clapping. Apparently, because clapping is violent and aggressive. That's why people don't do that. Isn't that odd? So I sat there and I was trying not to smile or laugh because for them it was very serious.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like, hey, sister. You know, like they were all kind of climbing in on that
basis. Sounds like a bad South Park episode.
It was ridiculous. I felt like I was in a cartoon. But it didn't matter what I was saying because to these people in the crowd who were doing this clicking thing, and they were men as well. These weak, feeble-looking men, the kind of men that no woman has sexual fantasies about, ever. And they were also going, you know, and they had sort of hair dyed in various colors as well. And, you know, they were weak. They were fragile-looking men. They looked like the kind of men that, and I'm by no means a big, strong athlete, but they look like the kind of men who, if you breezed past them in a hurry, you might knock them over.
Right, yeah.
Know what I mean? So they were also clicking. But it was odd. The whole thing was very, very strange. Now, this intersectionality thing, so Peter Boghossian, who I'm going to try and get on the show tomorrow. He said he might be keen to talk to us tomorrow because he's been really busy with this whole situation. He's basically revealed that these departments are a place of sheltered employment for academics who can't make it in a field where they actually have to be rigorous and outstanding. So you go into these departments, you can make shit up, you can write papers, you can get tenure at a university as an academic and live out your days being paid by the state or by the university to really churn out nonsense and have talk shops in your lectures instead of teaching people anything of value that has any practical application in the real world. You just sit there and mouth off. You know, I used to make fun of philosophy, but I think philosophy is, if you study classical philosophy and Hegelian philosophy and, you know, all the stuff that came after that, Nietzsche, and I think that there's tremendous value in that because it tells you a lot about the way the human mind works and how ideas come about and what kinds of ideas are worth holding on to and which ones are not. But this stuff is patently rubbish. And what Peter and the other two academics have proven is that you can get by with any of this if you're prepared to make up and stick to stupid political ideas and completely falsified pretenses. And as a result, they've embarrassed much of America's humanities academia. Of course, only temporarily, because they'll go back to their hidey holes.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're going to come back with a response about, oh, this is just typical white male behavior.
Yeah, well, you see, there's a woman here. I think one of the guys is a man of color. So actually, you know what? It's not going to work, that stuff.
Because that's usually
the go-to. You're absolutely right. That's the go-to position. But they don't have any territory to occupy. I know. They really are. They're sitting in their departments now, shitting themselves, drinking green tea, crying a lot, you know, complaining about how unfair the world is. It's happening right now. But well done to Peter, so I want to speak to him, see what he's up to. I met such an interesting man the other day, a guy called Dr. Mark Opperman, and he was telling me about testosterone.
Yeah.
And the effects of lowered or let's say reduced levels, because lowered is a horrible word, reduced levels of testosterone in some men, that it is the source of depression, it is the source of sexual dysfunction,
yep.
It is the source of a lack of competitiveness at work, a lack of ambition. There are a whole lot of things that come into play.
Guys who are clicking their fingers in the crowd.
Probably.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that come into play about this that are fascinating. And I do want to get him in here one morning to talk about this stuff, because I think there are probably a lot of men who would benefit from, he says, you know, things like hair loss are the obvious things.
Yeah.
But he's talking about how a lot of guys don't even know they're depressed. And, you know, I'm thinking of this because we just did this man-to-man series, which has taken off so well, and people are listening to that. And I also think we should look at the issue of people who don't know, men and women, who don't know that they're depressed.
Well, exactly. But
they don't realize. They wake up every morning. They feel horrendous. They can't deal with the day. They can't deal with other people.
Yeah.
And they think that's normal.
But just getting back to the whole Peter Boghossian thing on, like, shine the light and all this bullshit, it's almost like testosterone as a word has been kind of, like, made into a bad word because it speaks of alpha males. It's actually, it's a health thing. It's a fundamental characteristic of who we are. And people say, oh, he's just so full of testosterone. No, like, it's such an important part. You know, when I started doing those cold showers and I was looking into that.
Yes.
And researching why people
do that. By the way, someone did email us about that the other day and said, you know, that they really enjoyed hearing how you went from freezing cold to lukewarm. I think they were being sarcastic.
Yeah. Like, I always finish, I start with the warmer water now because cold's just annoying.
Right.
The weird thing is, actually, as the weather got warmer, I less enjoyed the cold. But I always finish with cold. So the second half of your shower is always cold. But learning about what then testosterone does, because all these little things add to your testosterone. You keep that, you keep going well. But you lose that, and that's what, you're right, actually, Gary. Depression is a huge side effect or byproduct of this. Take well testosterone, you've got very little that makes you who you are. And whether people like it or not, if you're a man, you're a man. You have to be a certain way. You have to act like a dickhead, but I mean, you need this kind of stuff running through your veins.
Yeah, and you know, similarly, there's a small amount of estrogen that is necessary for men, as far as I can tell. But those levels have gone up because there's estrogen in the water. And in various other places, there's a lot of foodstuffs that...
There's a lot of poor diet choices on making this testosterone dip.
Correct. And what that does then is it impacts negatively on a lot of men's hormonal balance, just as, you know, progesterone changes the way that women's bodies function. And I'd like to have a proper endocrinologist in here to tell us exactly how that happens. But I do think it would be interesting. So we've got lots to talk about. The petrol price is what everybody's furious about this week. Furious, and rightly so. I mean, we should all be furious about that. It seems to me that, you know, you get punished, and like Ben pointed out the other day, I thought this was quite a revelation. People don't know this, but it's because, although the crude oil price has doubled, which is obviously the source of a lot of this, the tax on petrol, the fuel levy, has tripled. Now that should make you nervous.
Well, a couple of other factors here. So a friend of mine tweeted this yesterday saying that Brent crude oil was at an all-time low for three years. Mm-hmm. Petrol price never really dropped, did it?
No, it didn't.
Petrol price has now rocketed since the Brent crude thing has gone up. So it's a very convenient excuse going, oh, well, the price of oil is skyrocketing. But... what is this whole... we don't see the other way going down. And when the rand loses value, everything becomes more expensive. And the rand gets stronger, everything should become cheaper, but doesn't. And it just doesn't seem like we are ever winning on this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't know how, but the same thing always happens when the petrol price does go up and then all the goods go up, right?
Sure.
And then on the shelves, you see the price tick up slowly. Everybody gets punished by that. But they never bring it down when they do bring down the petrol price, which is always, you know, they say it's coming down by like 10 cents, and then the next month it goes up by 50. So you're always chasing... I mean, see, two things about this. First of all, the petrol price inevitably will continue to go up over time.
Yeah.
If you had 100 years and you put your money in oil, you'd be doing okay 100 years later.
Sure.
You'd be doing pretty damn well, in fact, because obviously there's only so much oil in the earth. The oil is made by the hugely pressurized and compressed remains of marine and other animals that lived millions of years ago. The carbon life forms that have been squashed into these petroleum chains in oil, which is then mined out from under the earth. Point being, there's only so much of it. It's going to go up.
Speaking of oil, Gareth, you're saying that over 100 years you would have profit. So, you know, the energy minister that Peterson.
Yes, she was the former energy minister.
Energy minister who sold all our oil reserves. Now, why would you ever need to sell oil reserves? That's the story in itself, which is going this whole state capturing
because
inquiry.
Because they were stealing.
Stealing, is, indeed, Gareth.
Stealing.
Sold our oil for $28 a barrel. Oil price now $75 a barrel.
Yeah.
Stealing. So, again, the fundamental lack of economics with all the politicians in this country.
Don't understand.
But, I mean, that is pure theft.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, where Tina is now, clearly having a jaw somewhere. Trips to Dubai, all that kind of stuff. But that is just, that's treason. That, again, going back to who's going to jail for all this kind of shit. Like, we sell all this oil. Maybe like a billion rand, 2 billion rand that was lost over this little deal. For what? Why would we ever sell our oil reserves?
Because of thieving. All right, lots of things to talk about. We've got to get to the five things you need to know, which we'll do in a moment. You know how to get hold of us. You can call us on 0861-555-189. Nola has arrived to take your call, and we would like to hear from you. We've also got sport with Ben. I don't know whether Sia's coming in today. Where he is, we'll find out later. And streaming on iOS and Android has been perfect. Thank you, Frank. Isn't that nice? Get some positive feedback. That's like the petrol price coming down. No one really ever goes, here's the petrol price to come down for you. Now, Frank, that's nice of you to say everything is working streaming-wise. We usually only hear from people when it doesn't work. I'm so delighted, Frank. I feel like, you know what, I feel like I need a cup of coffee to celebrate. How about that? Thanks, Nola. All right, so a couple of things you need to know in the news today. Let's go to those. First thing, how can you tell if someone is a sex offender?
Oh, I know. They should be in jail. Oh, no, wait, that's justice. No. They're outside of, they're in court at the moment.
No. So a lot of people are asking, Ben, I don't know if you're thinking about the Dross rapist or you're thinking about the Springs monster.
Well, they're both in court.
Yeah. Well. In the wake of the Dross rape, a lot of people are asking, what can they do to protect children from sex offenders, right? What are the personality traits of an abuser? Are there behaviors that can signal to parents that someone is a risk to their child? Can you point out a serial rapist in a crowd?
No, not normally.
Experts say there is no way to tell. The causes of abuse are different in every single case. Profiling a sex abuser is virtually impossible. Experts agree the term sex offender is incredibly broad, and there is no single profile. It's also a term that encompasses many different kinds of crimes, pedophiles, incest offenders, serial rapists, and many other kinds of offenders. They all fall under the umbrella, and obviously what motivates one offender might not motivate the next. So now you know. There is no way. They don't stand out from the crowd. They are not a particular breed.
Yeah, they don't all wear cargo pants. It's not easy.
Correct. It's very hard to identify. Like, you can usually tell if someone's a soccer mom or a golf dad, you know, by the way they dress, the things that they're interested in, the stuff they do on weekends. But sex offenders try to keep that stuff to themselves, and they try to disguise themselves. You don't know what they're up to.
Look, there are some giveaways, of course. You know, like people dressed in religious clothing. Some very small shorts on physical education coaches, that kind of stuff. But even then, you know, like...
Small shorts on physical education coaches.
But even then, like, those are probably the craftier ones, so...
Yes, you can never be too sure.
You can never be too sure.
In other news, the Springs monster, guess how many years he's got?
Oh, 1,000, hopefully.
Yeah, 35 years. I know that doesn't sound like enough. But as we've discussed before, I don't think there's any chance that he's going to get out before that. He's been sentenced to an effective 35 years in prison for the severe abuse of his five children, the rape of his eldest daughter, drug possession, and obstruction of justice. His ex-wife received a suspended sentence of 5 years on certain conditions, such as undergoing psychological counseling. The judge took into account that the woman was, like the children, a victim, and had suffered serious abuse at the hands of her husband. The man and woman, who cannot be named because we have to protect the identity of his children, were both found guilty in the North Gauteng High Court in Pretoria, August 16th. So he was found guilty of rape, attempted murder, defeating the ends of justice, obstruction of justice, 5 counts of child abuse, 5 counts of child neglect. He was also found guilty of drug dealing and drug possession. Isn't that incredible? I mean, it's a huge range of stuff.
Well, going back to the whole thing, how do you identify these people? People were living next door to this guy. They had no idea. Like, the son had to basically escape to go alert the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They read affidavits from the two older children who recounted many instances of abuse. I don't think of them as my mother and father. I don't want to be their child, the boy said. I hate everything about my dad. I would kill him if I could. The boy recounted that a blowtorch was used to burn him and various other assaults, and he still bore the scars of those assaults. I mean, that's horrendous.
Yeah, you don't really bounce back from that. And you'd hope that, although 35 years, you know, you would think various lifetimes for those kids, that's enough time, obviously, for them to forget about this guy, hopefully, with the right sort of therapy, the right support systems.
Too terrible. Too terrible. I see that the South African Human Rights Commission has decided that Sasha Martinengo needs to be looked at. Because, you know, he's such a dangerous person.
Yeah.
I love that. We've got sex offenders. We just told you two stories about the Dross rapist and this dad who abused his whole family. And we're worried about a radio DJ who said the word monkey.
Yeah, and a woman who sold our oil reserves. But yeah, let's shine the light on Sasha Martinengo.
Anyway, so the apparently the EFF have called for the arrest. You know, you've got to arrest people now because they say things. I mean, imagine what kind of a world you head into. Please, read George Orwell's 1984 if you want to know about how this ends. If you think it's a good idea, if you're so upset by someone calling you names, please do me a favor, read 1984, come to me afterwards and tell me how, in what world, you think that this is an appropriate way to deal with someone who has a bad idea, or has a slip of the tongue, or who really genuinely means to be racist, which I don't think is the case here at all. This is someone who's had a career in broadcasting for how many years? He says the M word, which has become the M word, and suddenly everybody's tits are in a tangle, their hair is on fire, shit falls down around them, and the world is absolutely irreconcilable for them. Come on. If you're that weak that Sasha Martinengo's word upsets you on hot whatever it is, radio, some FM, I don't even know what they're called. Jesus, have you got problems? And he is not one of them. Someone, start making sense of this nonsense. But there it is. The EFF have said that he's definitely a danger to society. He must be arrested. Can you imagine? This is interesting. A Peru judge has annulled the ex-president's pardon and has ordered the arrest of the president. Isn't that interesting? Hmm. Some countries can do it.
Yeah.
Remember, they did that in South Korea not so long ago. Yeah, they just did it the other day. And Donald Trump, just to upset everybody, you got to love this guy. He has mocked the Kavanaugh accuser as the Supreme Court nominee has cried revenge. Do you want to know what that's all about? Well, let me give you a brief idea. Here's Donald Trump.
Play it yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't get to play the whole thing, so now I'm going to play you the whole thing so you can hear it. Here's Donald Trump mocking, in inverted commas, Christine Blasey Ford, who is accused Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh of assault. And remember, everything he's saying, he may be mocking her in terms of, you know, she doesn't remember a damn thing. But that's the truth. She doesn't. Here it is. Listen.
It's like a part of the job description. Let it happen to me. Shouldn't happen to him. Shouldn't happen to him. What he's going through, 36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer. Right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was... Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember. And a man's life is in tatters. A man's life is shattered. His wife is shattered. His daughters, who are beautiful, incredible young kids. They destroy people. They want to destroy people.
I see. So that's what he said. And people are losing their shit. Oh, you see, he's such a misogynist. He never believes the woman. He's just... But that's none of that's important. Because actually has no bearing on whether or not someone can become a Supreme Court justice. It's not important. These things have been made to seem important. This Senator Flake, have you heard about him?
No.
Well, two women cornered him in a lift on Friday after he announced he would vote to confirm Brett Kavanaugh as the Supreme Court justice. And these two women burst into the lift and started shouting at him because they had been abused and now this was his problem and his fault. Of course, it transpires later on that the one woman is a professional activist. That's what she does for a living.
Oh, wow.
And she's paid by George Soros. But that's besides the point. Try to listen to her and imagine you didn't know that. and see whether she has any case in your opinion.
Listen. You take responsibility for it, and then you begin to repair it. You're allowing someone who is unwilling to take responsibility for his own actions, unwilling to hold the harm that he has done to one woman, actually three women, and repair it. You are allowing someone who is unwilling
Senator,
to take responsibility for his own actions to sit
Senator.
In the higher court of the country and to have the role of repairing the harm that has been done in this country to many people.
We're asking you for an answer.
There have been a lot of questions here.
Do these women not deserve an answer?
There's only one question. Do you think Brett Kavanaugh can tell the truth?
I mean, he's basically being railroaded by these activists. And, you know, actually, I don't see why Senator Flake has to give an answer to this. If someone just jumps out of the woodwork and starts shouting at you, why do you have to give anyone an answer? How did she get into that lift in the first place?
And why were these journalists there as well? It sounds so staged.
Of course it is. Of course it is. That's the point, right?
Staged without looking for a kind of positive result here. They're looking to create a spectacle.
And that's what they did. And guess what? They got the Senator Flake, it's ironic, that's his surname, to flake off and change his opinion. Now, he might be voting against Brett Kavanaugh. See, you can pressure some people. This is what the crazies want to do, is they want to stop you from being you and make you into what they want you to be. And if you let them do that once, they don't stop doing it. Never apologize. The Pope has opened a youth synod as confidence dips on abuse fallout. Yep, he's urged Catholic bishops on Wednesday to dream of a future free of the mistakes and sins of the past as he opened a global gathering of the church leadership amid renewed outrage over the priestly sex abuse and cover-up scandal.
Sure. Good luck selling that one.
Mm-hmm. He prayed for bishops to guide the young. I think we've had enough of that. I think we've had our fill of that. Thank you very much, Your Holiness. But also rekindle themselves the gift of dreaming and hoping that young people have. He prayed for God's help to ensure that the church does not allow... You don't need God's help. What you need is a criminal justice system to take control of this situation. You're hiding priests, just as all of your forebears did, Benedict the 16th and Pope John Paul II too, and all the popes before them. This is what you guys have done for perhaps thousands, but certainly tens of years. Anyway, they had their little conference and they promised they're going to stop fiddling children. And if you believe them, then you probably also believe that the flat earthers have a point. But there we go. Those are the stories you need to know in the news this morning. I'm afraid it's not stuff that you can laugh and smile about, but who knows? There might be some of that in the next little while. Bitcoin's trading at $6,592. Ethereum at $225. Let's turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on in the world of sport.
Far more goals in Champions League last night. The Proteas win on a dodgy pitch, and Kanye wants Colin Kaepernick and Donald to chat. So Tuesday night wasn't the most exciting, wasn't the most incredible in Champions League, but last night, ba-bang, PSG 6-1 over Red Star Belgrade. Neymar got a hat-trick, and, well, it was just one-way traffic, really. Lokomotiv Moscow, they lost to Schalke, was it 1-0? And then Porto beat Galatasaray. Atletico Madrid, they seem to be getting back into some form. They've been a bit soft the last year and a bit, actually. They were so good, they made the Champions League final 2 years in a row. And then, well, they've kind of lost their way a bit. But they still have stars like Antoine Griezmann. And 3-1 of a Club Brugge last night showed that they're a force to be reckoned with. PSV, they hosted Inter Milan and they lost 2-1. Borussia Dortmund, they hammered Monaco 3-0. Napoli, well, they broke Liverpool hearts. Liverpool is just bright and spirited to start to the season. They beat PSG actually last time out. So that was a good result, but Napoli brought them back to earth. They 1-0. And then the big one, what everyone was looking forward to, was Spurs. Could they take a vulnerable Barcelona? But it was yesterday. Big teams, they don't really cock around too much. So there was only going to be one winner last night, and it was Barcelona, led by Messi, who scored 2 goals. And Spurs did have a spirited fight back, but, 4-2. That's what Messi does. That's what he does midweek. He breaks British hearts.
Well, You know what? Some people have the fun jobs. Breaking British hearts is what Messi gets to do. What a lucky guy.
Break their hearts. Yesterday in Bloemfontein, the Proteas took on Zimbabwe. Proteas won the toss, and we're looking to score some runs on what was generally a good pitch. Bloem, you can go there, you can score some runs. But no, yesterday the ball was bouncing funny. It was rearing off a good length. South Africa were 100 for 7 at one point. Dale Steyn had to score a 50 to get this thing back on track. And literally, they were 101 for 7 when JP Duminy went out. But then Steyn 60, and we supported by Andile Pekelekwayo down the order. 198 all out at 47.3 overs. How many overs do you reckon the Zimbabweans made, Gareth?
Sure, Ben.
Chasing 199 is a total on a dodgy pitch.
I don't know.
They made 24 overs.
Ugh.
But it was at a stage where Steyn and Ngidi were bowling, where it looked like the game might actually be called off because it was just so difficult to bat and it seemed quite dangerous. And it was a bitterly cold night at Bloemfontein last night.
Bitterly cold everywhere.
You're pouring the brandy on your hands. It was so cold. And
lighting it on fire.
Yeah, well, thankfully, Imran Tahir was in the team, so then, you know, Duminy could give him the ball because, you know, it's not dangerous to face leg spin bowling. And then Tahir, well, he absolutely rolled the guys out. Six wickets for 24, including a hat-trick. It, at that stage, was just very embarrassing. It looked like a game of garden cricket, and the drunk uncles were batting. It was just terrible. They had no idea how to face the bowling. Uncles. Eventually, Zimbabwe all out for 78. This is not cricket.
No. Horrible, Ben.
And,
horrible.
Rob Howing's been doing some impressive writing this week on Sport 24, and he said, like, this isn't exactly a one-off shot. I mean, the pitches have been pretty dangerous, pretty dodgy in South Korea of late. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking games against Zimbabwe, no one gives a toss. Against India, that test at the Wanderers?
Well, they give a toss at the beginning, someone wins the toss, but yeah, I know what you mean.
That test at the Wanderers against India, that was horrendous. There's been other games that have even been called off. So what's happening? Why are the pitches going to shit? Well, some of them need to be relayed. That's what happens with things. You can't keep using the same thing over and over and over.
Yes.
You know, golf courses have to redo their greens every few years.
Absolutely. I mean, how would we manage?
Fields have to be re-sodded.
Sod the fields.
All these things have to be replaced. So there's a lack of funding, a lack of foresight, a lack of expertise. All of these things just dog South African culture with most things. But all the groundskeepers up to standard, because if pitches like this are going to keep being churned out, we have a tough enough job in this country getting people to watch cricket.
Yes.
People to be excited about going to live sporting events. If the playing conditions are substandard, well, then what chance have these guys ever got?
Good point, Ben.
Bloody dreadful. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. It really is. We need to be any more embarrassed, us South Africans. We really don't.
So embarrassing.
Dreadful. So the Box will name their team today to take on the All Blacks. And what was such a great dynamic to this All Black test. You know, every time the Box play the All Blacks, obviously there's something special about it. There's the history and all that kind of stuff. Of late, there's also been the thrashings, which has made people feel rather despondent about that. But then the Box have really brought it back. And that win at the Cape Town last month was a huge thing for most South Africans. Sure. Who are so tired of being embarrassed, as I just mentioned.
We are tired.
Tired of being embarrassed, but that event there was just everything we needed. So now we've got a chance to beat the All Blacks back-to-back. This hasn't happened since, 2009, 2011, somewhere. It hasn't happened a long time, put it that way. But now, if we can beat these guys home and away, next year's the World Cup. Next year in the World Cup, we're in their group. What an incredible dynamic this is. But again, Rob Howing, I'm giving this guy a lot of credit there. He wrote a really good article, something I agree with. It's about how this new breed of Bok talent coming through that isn't scarred by the All Blacks. Isn't it great if we can maybe get another win? So suddenly these guys who run in the field like Apiwa Janji, Snyman and Cheslin Kolbe, their experience of playing the All Blacks is beating the All Blacks.
Very good.
For so long, all the other players... I mean, you show them an All Black jersey, they cower like a dog is about to hit with a newspaper.
Yeah, that's right.
The scar tissue. A lot of the Proteas and why they've choked the crap out of matches. It's the scar tissue of knowing, like, shit, we need to chase a total. It's over 200. The ball's coming right at us. Ah, run out. So it's so important that mentally you're in the right frame of mind in sports. And if we have this fearless nature to us, then we can only get success after success after success.
Yes.
It's like America in the Ryder Cup. How are they ever going to win in Europe? They go there and they get completely demoralized and they end up losing. It take all the talent in the world, if mentally you're not sound going to these things, well, you're screwed. So the team will be announced today. It generally gets announced around sort of 1 o'clock. And the All Blacks, of course, they will be a lot better. They won't be throwing outlandish passes at quick lineouts and giving away easy tries. Burden Barrett could not possibly kick any worse than he did at the Caketon. And of course, Loftus is where the All Blacks love playing. I don't know why they're taking them there. Every test should be at Ellis Park, where rough fans shout horrible things at them. But that's just me. Maybe I'm a bit mean. Maybe the people in Pretoria deserve a test match with the All Blacks. So that'll take place.
Would be nice of you, Ben. Try and be generous.
They'll take place at 5 o'clock on Saturday. And look, I don't want to be that guy, but All Blacks are still favourites for this. They play well at the high. They play well everywhere. I know they've won the Rugby Championship. I know they've had a heavy travel schedule, but they are the favourites going into this. But if you get on down there, try scare the ref, cheer and shout. Don't click your fingers. Clap and shout and scream. Get all out there. Support the Box. But we'll talk about the team tomorrow. Japan, remember they beat the Box at the last World Cup?
Yes.
Well, they're now making a movie about the miracle of the Brighton miracle. An actual movie about how incredible it was that Eddie Jones's men, so unfancied against the mighty Springboks, Heineken Meyer's mighty Springboks, that they went out there though and they won 34-32. Now, sports movies are mostly shite, let's be honest. They don't really have big enough budgets to really get a great story out. And even Invictus, that had Morgan Freeman and Clint Eastwood and Matt Damon! It was a pretty average movie. But maybe the Japanese story, which is being kind of told, directed, and produced by Australians, maybe that's going to be the way forward. And this could be an interesting movie.
So, do you want to hear Sean?
The Brighton Miracle. Yeah, sure.
Hey, Sean, what's up?
Morning, guys.
Morning. You're becoming a regular, Sean. Go ahead. What can you tell us?
Can I rant a little?
Yeah, go
this
ahead.
Morning.
Of course you can.
I flew in from Port Elizabeth to Joburg last night, so I'm in Joburg right now.
Mm-hmm.
But just something on a plane that fucking irritates me, you know, besides the crying baby and those sort of things. You know, when just before you land, you're supposed to switch off your phone and.
Sure.
What irritates the living crap out of me is people that keep their phones on for some other strange reason. I sat next to a guy last night and the guy opposite him, where the phone's just, you know, the stewardess walks past and says, okay, listen, switch off the phones. Then they'll press a button and it looks like the phone is off. But as soon as they, you know, these guys go sit down and we start descending for the landing, these bloody arseholes take out the phone and they carry on like it's nothing, you know.
Sean, what do you
it's
care?
It's a simple rule.
What do you care? Why are you what are you policing everyone for, Sean?
Just say again?
Why are you policing everybody? What do you care?
No, it's just, you know, it's a simple rule and it's a rule of life. If you can't follow simple rules, how the fuck are you going to follow the really important ones?
Well, you know,
understand people.
You'll probably find the person who doesn't switch their phone off is the same person who will pick at their feet during the flight. They'll fart. They'll knock something over onto your lap. You know, they can. Yeah. What you need to do is you can't get cross on your own, Sean. You need to press the button, call the steward or stewardess over. I don't know what you're meant to call the cabin crew anymore.
Cabin
and say
PR,
to them, tell them this motherfucker isn't switching off his phone and embarrass them into never doing it again.
Yeah, well, that's probably going to work.
Otherwise, or else the alternative is to sit there and just go, not my problem.
Sean, sure, and you must also like say he farts as well. So you really get everyone behind you and against him. Like throw a bit of extra sauce
right
on there as well.
Turn it into like an I am Spartacus moment. You know, you get everybody all riled up. That's what you need.
And then just on a different note, I don't know if you guys, when last you guys flew Mango.
Well, no. No, I mean, I try to avoid it. Just the color of the planes puts me
Listen,
off.
I sat last night. I asked for them to move me, actually, to a different seat. And it worked. I got a different seat, but then I sat next to this other arsehole.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's a lot
no
of arseholes in your life at the moment,
there's
Sean.
No space on that. I mean, I don't even fit into the seat properly. And there's no leg space in front of me. If you open up the tray, it's right up against your chest.
But you know,
I took some photos last night of how small and tiny this is.
I know, but Sean, you know what you've got to realize too is the bright side. You're out of PE. I mean, let's try to be optimistic here.
Well, I got a welcome to Joburg this morning. On my way to work, I saw a robbery, and everyone was just like driving past as if it's, you know, it is what it is.
Who's got time to get involved in someone else's robbery? Come on.
Exactly. Listen, I sound like a woman this morning, and I'm probably...
Sound like a very manly,
woman. Or something, because I'm growing tits, the way I'm complaining.
That's okay. You know what, Sean? That's what we're here for. We like to hear from you. Don't ever feel bad about calling us, ever.
Sean, guys. Right, have a good day.
Bye-bye. There we go.
See, bye, Sean.
Even interrupt the sport to bring you Sean, and you can call any time you want. Sean doesn't have to be the only one who has the number.
Yeah, sure.
It's 0861-555-189. Nola's sitting there with her beautiful blue hair, and she's waiting to take your call. So give her a shout. Even if it's just to say, hey, Nolo, and put down the phone, which will annoy her, but it's still, you know.
Still engagement.
Sure, it's something to do.
Still engagement.
And you know, in media these days, all people care about is?
Engagement. Yeah.
Whatever the fuck that is.
Just right, a couple of last stories here on the sports. Colin Kaepernick, we all know him. Kanye West, who is, well, people are saying, he's a sellout, he's an Uncle Tommy. How dare he
want to make Donald Trump
America great again and wear that horrible hat. He has urged Colin Kaepernick and Donald Trump to have a dialogue, conversation, engage, Gareth. They're looking for engagement. And obviously Trump last month said that Nike sent out a terrible message.
Terrible.
When they named the 30-year-old as the face of the whole campaign around sacrifice, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But Kanye, though, who throughout the interview talked about this, he wore his MAGA hat, and he said that he just wanted them to be on the same page and talk until the conversation turns to love.
That's amazing. You know, Kanye's right. I know a lot of people think Kanye's a fruitcake and he's an attention seeker and a lunatic. And a lot of people think that about Donald Trump, too. And some people probably think that about Colin Kaepernick. So put the three in a room and let's see what happens.
Put the three in it, yeah.
Hey, Kanye, good idea, dude.
Exactly. He's making stuff happen, at least. People keep knocking Ye. But, I mean, the guy's got some ideas. At least he's not just sitting at home masturbating like he used to.
No. He's doing more than a lot of people. And you remember his wife got that woman let out of prison who'd been wrongfully put in prison? I think that's great. You know what? Who knew that in our day and age, the great moral exemplars would come from a rapper and a sex video star?
Yeah.
Well done to them. And you know what? Donald Trump has met with Kim Jong-un and a lot of bad crooked Hillary, a lot of bad people. So why shouldn't he sit down with Colin Kaepernick, who's not a bad person, who's just an activist of a kind? He's got a story to tell. He's the hero of the new Nike campaign. Let them all talk. Maybe they can figure out some way out of this mess and make America less divided.
But also, if Kaepernick is going to be to his word, which he has been to this point, I mean, he hasn't played professional football since 2017. I think he got let go of by his team. He has to also then go, cool, Kanye, set it up. Because if he doesn't, then he's also full of shit.
I think he'll probably want to go to a meeting with the president.
Great.
I mean, that
open
would be
dialogues.
Sure.
Whenever you think you got strife with someone, have a conversation with them. Don't badmouth each other on social media and stuff. And before you know it, you find things in common. You find you got sort of personality traits that are similar. Before you know it, you're friends.
Right.
And then love. The Alfred Dunhill Links Golf Championship will take place this weekend. It's one of the most special events of the year because loads and loads of celebrities play. But I mean, like talking big stars here with the European Tour's finest. Plus, some of the best in the world are going to be there too. Brooks Koepka, he'll be there, although he's still very shaken about taking that woman's sight away. Not intentionally, of course. Tommy Fleetwood will be there. Tony Finau.
Well, if he did that intentionally, he'd be able to get a hole in one every time. Think about it. Jeepers. That would be some skill.
Exactly.
Jesus, what a golfer.
Tony Finau will be there. Tyrrell Hatton, of course, is the defending champion. And there'd be loads of South Africans because this is Johann Rupert's event where basically he invites all his Chinas. Takes over St. Andrews. That's where you know you're a big deal in this world. Where you take on the old course.
You just own it.
King's Barnes, Carnoustie. You take on everything.
And people let you. They're only too happy.
Well, he's a big deal in golf, especially. Finally, Cristiano Ronaldo has spoken about his rape stuff.
Uh-oh.
In two tweets, he said, I firmly deny the accusations being issued against me. Rape is abominable. It's an abominable crime. And it goes against everything I am and believe in. Keen as I may be to clear my name, I refuse to feed the media spectacle created by people seeking to promote themselves at my expense. Mm-hmm. The second tweet was, my clear conscience will thereby allow me to await with tranquility the results of any and all investigations.
Right. He knows he's innocent.
Did he write that?
No, he can't speak that many words in a row.
Thereby, he's going to await with tranquility, Gareth.
No, it's obviously been... Nah, it's been translated and the lawyers have had a go. Anyway, look, I don't think he's worried. I don't think he's particularly concerned.
Well, yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he is. Maybe he's just beside himself.
What else can you say right now? If he says nothing, it says he's guilty. If he says too much, he's guilty. So therefore, he's saying that because he wants to show confidence.
It's like Brett Kavanaugh. The guy doesn't know what the hell to do, right?
But you've got to show confidence in a situation like this. Any response?
All right. Thank you, Ben. Do you want to hear my Said by Sia this morning?
Yes.
It's not going to be as positive. I'm not as good as Sia is at that stuff. Here's my Said by Sia this morning. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Petrol price goes up today. Electricity is going up 20% again if Eskom get their way. Personal gains tax and VAT are up. It's a party. Woo! Service delivery in our country is great.
That's going down, though.
No, it's great. Fantastic. It's unparalleled. All our hard-earned tax money, ladies and gentlemen, is being used for the development of poor people who hold no single iota of begrudgment for the minority. Great health, schooling, and educational infrastructure all around. I'd like to take this moment to soak it all up. What a great... Cyril has made South Africa great again.
Yeah.
That's my moment of positivity for the day.
Well, thanks,
good. Did you think I did that well?
Yeah. Look, you didn't grab me in the beginning, but you really brought it home towards the end.
Well, I did borrow that from a friend of mine on Facebook, but there it is.
Okay.
All right? There it is. Your big moment of positivity. Yes. All right. When we come back, the burning platform. I'm very excited to have Simon Allison back on. Simon Allison, we've spoken to a number of times about African issues because he is the Africa editor at the Mail and Guardian, and we'll speak to him this morning on the Burning Platform about a number of stories that are in the news that I think we all need to make sure we know about. And Simon is absolutely one of the best people to talk to when it comes to this stuff. So I'm thrilled he'll be joining us in a short while. You know what to do. Get us on your phone. If you haven't already loaded the number, here it is. One last time. Ben, do you want to give it to everybody?
0861.
Yes. Yes.
555189.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Just remind everybody again, what is that number that is ringing in front of you right now? What is the number?
It's 0861.
Yes.
555189.
Yes. Fantastic. All right. So you come in here, you were clutching at your bowels. Have you got a stomach problem? Is it, what's going on?
I have the worst period pain ever.
Period pain.
It's like a party of Tokoloshe's drumming and, I don't know, cutting up my uterus.
I'm sorry to laugh.
Drumming.
It's terrible. It's like the dancing and cutting my uterus.
Sweet Jesus.
It's the worst.
Oh, my God.
And the weather's not helping. So.
It's so cold.
We soldier on.
Thoughts and prayers.
At least you're here. Have we found out where young Sia is?
Oh, yeah. He just responded.
Okay.
He took flu medication and it knocked him out.
Well, here's the sound coming from inside of Nolo right now.
That sounds just about right.
Those damn period dinosaurs.
Sounds just about right.
Those period dinosaurs were the worst.
All right, everybody, let's get your day off to a good start, shall we? CliffCentral.com